Today on Seculo, Secretary of State Anthony Blinken has been caught lying about contact with Hunter Biden.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
You know, folks, we now know in two different ways that Secretary Blinken was in communication with Hunter Biden. What we have now learned is that he lied to Congress about contact with Hunter Biden. So first we learned that he was actually the lead, Secretary of State Blinken, the senior advisor to the Biden campaign at the time, to get the public statement that was signed in October 2020 by 51 former intel officials that implied that the New York Post reporting about the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian disinformation. We know that because of information in response to the House Judiciary Committee Chair Jim Jordan and the House Intelligence Committee Chair Mike Turner when Blinken responded. And that is testimony that came from someone who signed that letter, the former deputy director of the CIA, Mike Morrell, a Democrat who was one of those 51 signatories, said that Blinken is the one who went around to all of them to say, sign this letter that we're going to publish in newspapers that this is disinformation. We now learned, of course, that laptop was absolutely real and it was absolutely Hunter Biden's, that was untrue. But what Blinken then went to Congress and testified, now this was in 2020, before he was confirmed to become Secretary of State, he sat down with members of the U.S. Senate and he testified that he did not have any contact or email relationship with Hunter Biden. Now, I want to take a listen to Senator Ron Johnson. He was in part of those conversations. His staff were in those conversations, but they were interviewing Secretary Blinken. This was behind closed doors as he was on the way to becoming confirmed to the U.S. Senate. This is what he had to say to them then. Bite two.
Anthony Blinken finally did come in and sit down for a voluntary transcribed interview in December of 2020 because he wanted to be Secretary of State. And now because of more information that's come out, we know that he lied bold-faced to Congress about never emailing Hunter Biden. My guess is he told a bunch of other lies that hopefully we'll be able to bring him and his wife back in, tell them to preserve their records.
You know, Tulsi Gabbard, because this is interesting, Logan, when he got caught finally using, I guess, the emails between him and Hunter Biden, at one point he switched this was while they were at the State Department. His wife started using her private email address, even though she was an employee of the State Department as well.
The most telling moment.
And was basically the conduit between her and Hunter Biden for Secretary Blinken, who at the time was not yet Secretary of State. So he has a long-term family relationship. He's using his wife to contact. He is contacting, yet he got before Congress and said he had never done it before. He totally lied.
Yeah, I think that's the main difference here. We've talked about this. How many people email us or find our email addresses or call us? And I'm like, well, is it one email that you could have forgotten that over the course of 20 years? No, of course not. It's a full-on relationship, it seems like, whether using him or his wife's account. And when you start using, like, my wife's private account, it's where you go, okay, well, we know that this was intentionally, allegedly intentionally covered up. This wasn't a accident. And yeah, exactly. He lied.
Yeah. And so what Senator Johnson saying that lawmakers need to issue a subpoena to get Blinken and his wife, Evan Ryan, because she was that former State Department employee that was acting as a conduit. Remember, because this all led to something that was election interference. Right before the election, October of 2020, they put out a letter that is now known to be totally false, that the Hunter Biden laptop was just fake Russian disinformation. Remember, New York Post was banned from Twitter, banned from even being able to publish the news for a long time because they broke a story that we now know is absolutely true. And we now know that this was absolutely a political move by former intel officials using politics instead of their knowledge to try and help Joe Biden get elected and help Hunter Biden. So we support those efforts. We want to hear from you, 1-800-684-3110. Does this rise to the level of Blinken being removed as Secretary of State? Tulsi Gabbard believes so. We'll talk about that more when we get back. You know, we are taking your phone calls too at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. This is what Tulsi Gabbard, you know, she is a new member of our secular broadcast team as a senior military and political analyst. She'll be on later in the week. But she tweeted out over the weekend when this story broke that the ex-CIA chief, Morrell, revealed that now Secretary of State Blinken was the impetus behind the letter from 51 intel officials falsely claiming Hunter Biden's emails were, quote, Russian disinformation just weeks before, it was in October, the 2020 election. Blinken is a liar who cannot be trusted, and his being Secretary of State is not only useless, it's dangerous. Blinken must go. And I think we felt this way, Logan, about so many of the Biden cabinet officials, not just because they're liberals, but because they have been ineffective liars, whether it is Mayorkas, whether it has been Garland.
And definitively caught.
Yes, and Garland in this kind of political prosecutions that he's playing. But yet the Hunter Biden investigation goes nowhere, yet it's full steam ahead if it's Donald Trump. And, of course, now latest with Blinken, who Ron Johnson said came before the committee, lied, said he had no email relationship with Hunter Biden. We now know he was the main conduit with emails between him and Hunter Biden. And then he even went to a point of using his wife's private email address as the conduit while they were all working at the State Department, Blinken and his wife, to deal with Hunter Biden. And then he put the letter together while he was advising the campaign on the Hunter Biden laptop weeks before the election. I think the reason why Tulsi Gabbard says it's dangerous, this guy is running around as our Secretary of State. How has the world been under to Antony Blinken's head of Secretary of State? Right. The world has been
a disaster. Not much higher level that you can get.
No.
Than Secretary of State. Obviously, President. But, you know, it's one of the people who is really pulling the strings, really controlling a lot of what's going on.
Yep.
When you really see what Secretaries of States do. So when this kind of situation happens, it's easy to kind of mock it, goof around about it, but it's very serious. It's very serious. I mean, he hasn't been a lot of people's favorites. And look, for Joe Biden, this is the time when things usually start getting shaken up a little bit. So yes, you know what? If there's a time to it, maybe this is the time.
But the weird thing has been, and I think it's because he's so ineffective, and they're using his kind of inability to have the full power to kind of get through a day. And his age, and it's not even the age, it's just the coherence. Where was I? I don't even remember where I was last week. Yeah. And you were in Ireland on a big, big trip. Things like that.
The president, yeah.
That these officials feel like they're not going anywhere. Like Mayorkas is a political problem for them. But they've realized actually that on the left, he's speaking their language.
Right, and I think that is a big difference.
Is Blinken doing that too? Is Blinken, by protecting Biden, looking like a good political actor on the left, even though we think it's repulsive for a Secretary of State to be doing that? If liberals think he's doing the right job by protecting Hunter Biden, then guess who's not going anywhere? The guy who was protecting the president's
son. You would hope that people on the left even would go, okay, this is not the story we want, though, as the front page. We don't want our Secretary of State is covering for Hunter Biden. And you know, Hunter Biden, regardless of how you feel about him, most people don't have a good taste in their mouth for him. I think even probably Biden supporters, and in the sense of he's caused a lot of controversy for their candidate. He's been a problem. Yeah.
The reason he stays around is he is the money source for like his entire family.
Oh, I've read up a lot on the guy, and what I don't like is the mischaracterization that this guy is some buffoon, that he is kind of presented as a Roger Clinton comedic figure.
No.
He is a smart guy who has a lot of issues, clearly, and a lot of personal.
Bad actor.
Right, let's see.
And smart.
This guy was working on international deals at the highest level with some of these countries.
I mean, think about the fact he's going into court today in Arkansas. He's going to see his daughter that he claims, you know, he doesn't want to have a relationship with. She's 4 years old. Cute little girl. He's going into court because the court finally made him show up.
This is like a Maury.
And he's going into court so that he can pay her less child support.
Yeah.
Less.
When we know he's selling paintings for $500,000 or whatever it is again.
So that daughter's never going to know that her grandfather, who was the president of the United States.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
Because of Hunter, who's, I thought,
and
was,
it is someone who is biologically, like, confirmed his child.
Yes, this is his child.
That's pretty horrible.
So it tells you he's evil.
Yeah.
Evil people
are smart.
Can be very smart
and
very effective, especially in business deals, and utilizing the system and being persuasive. And it's like you can't kill him even though when you think that they're done, you think that they're not going to pop up anywhere because, hey, they've had a, they took pictures of their crack addiction. They took pictures of themselves with prostitutes. I mean, how far does it go? Then they lose the laptop, and but they get the D.C. insiders to protect them. I want to take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. You know, it's interesting. Benjamin Hall, who was injured in Ukraine, remember, lost his legs in Ukraine, but he's back on Fox News, which is a great story. He is returning for the first time tonight in a role as interviewer. And so in his first interview, he's going to be interviewing Anthony Blinken tonight. Now, I know a lot of that's going to be about all of the messes that Anthony Blinken and the Biden administration have created around the world. I mean, you can't even like go through the whole list in a minute. It's unbelievable how bad things are in the world. But you do have to wonder if Benjamin Hall will ask one of these questions. Did this happen? You know, we have to know when this interview was done. Was it done over the weekend, or is it going to be live or something that was done today? Because if it was done today, it's definitely relevant.
Yeah, actually, I got hung up a little bit on the paternity case. I was just looking at the details. It's very intense. Like, she wanted to change her last name to Biden, and that's one of the things they're pushing back on.
Yeah.
So you could do it. And, of course, they said that the president has refused to acknowledge that the granddaughter was born. So, like, when they put up Christmas stockings, that grandchild does not get any of that. So
she's
it kind of shows.
She's never met him.
Right.
She's never been invited. And it's pretty sick that he, again, admitted that he had all these problems, but that he had, you know, he'd gone through the process to fix that. Well, going through that process to fix that would mean bringing in a child you brought into the world into your family and treat it as, like, be a dad, be a father.
Yeah.
That's what, you know, you're, ultimately,
yeah,
that's what these kids are looking
mistakes,
for.
Stuff has happened. Doesn't mean you just abandon your children. I think this is more proof, and this is what I'm saying. I'm hoping that now they can look at this character.
See how gross he is.
We don't, but when you have the Blinken situation, you go, this is not what we want on the front page of the news in terms of the administration and the way they're covering up for this guy. Like you said, not a good guy. Maybe a smart guy, maybe a guy with problems. This doesn't excuse problems. Or problems don't excuse this.
No.
You know, they don't excuse, one, any of the work,
you have
really.
Plenty of money to pay her.
Yeah.
And no excuse not to bring her in as a family member, at least to be able to have some relationship with her and to let her grandfather, who Lord knows not going to be around forever, but is president of the United States, and she doesn't get to go to the Easter egg roll. That's pretty sad.
I don't
it's
even understand
very
that
question.
They have scientific proof.
Yeah, it's his daughter. So that's you're playing with a very dark guy.
Yeah, they said because the Biden name is now.
When
Saddam
you do that, though, you got to be ready for war, because when you play with people who can look at their own child and say, I'm going to pay you less money and I don't want you around and
don't
use my name.
Don't use our last family last name.
You'll never be able to call yourself a Biden, yeah, even though I fathered you and I'm the son of the president. You are playing with evil people.
Yeah, for sure.
Who are willing to do anything for power and money.
Yeah, and to sum up, what? Is he trying to not hurt his image? I mean, what's the, I don't even get it. Like, it's.
No, they don't want another person they have to pay.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they got to do another Chinese business deal, I guess, to
get something for the big guy, get something for the little girl. Can't do that.
I'd rather get something for the little girl than the big guy.
Yeah.
The big guy's not going to be around too much longer. How much more can he possibly need?
Yeah. All right. Well,
so what do you think about that one, too? I mean, we're going to elect a president whose son, who he keeps along as an advisor, right?
Yeah, who's always around, yeah.
Who totally ignores biologically proven 4-year-old daughter. Is there anything worse than that? I mean, I know there's parents that have to have custody battles and things like that, but he totally ignores her.
He's living in the White House right now?
Yeah. He lives at the White House so that other subpoenas are harder to get of him because you can't get to him. And when he does travel, he's with his dad, so it's very tough to get to him as well. But he did have to go to Arkansas. That judge said, you're going to have to sit here and look at this little girl. So great job by that Arkansas judge. But, you know, if you're just as evil and you kind of look at him smirking walking into court.
It's not going to mean anything.
Nope. But I think
it can
mean something is to voters.
Man, why is it worth, like you said, worth the time? It just doesn't feel like that's even worth your energy when you know how much is going on. It sounds bad, but pay your child support. Let them do whatever they want.
Have her around a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, you know, take some pictures. This is the Biden name is now synonymous with being well-educated, successful, financially acute, and politically powerful, the motion said. In the rebuttal, Biden's attorney said they need strict proof thereof that such request is in the best interest of the child. The name change.
The best interest of your child, being the former president's granddaughter, can open some major doors to you in your career later in life.
Yeah.
like colleges admissions, like financial opportunities.
But you got Blinken, he's just hanging out, playing the bass.
Well, what's he gonna do? He's gonna write a letter saying this is a Russian disinformation campaign against Hunter. This is not actually his real daughter. They have the Chinese or the Russians. Well, no, it's not the Chinese. They won't ever blame them because they want the climate change deal. It was the Russians who somehow changed the biological data. This is not his daughter. She's not a real Biden. And that's where the work of our Secretary of State's doing right now. It's just, it's infuriating. But when you have an incompetent president, I feel safe saying that now. He is so incompetent that he is being run by this DC machine who's getting away with whatever they want.
It would only be a Biden if he married his brother's ex-wife and they had a baby. Then it would be okay.
They were in a relationship.
Yeah.
I don't know if they still are.
No, I don't know. Just I know those are the convoluted stories that happen. All right, we'll be right back.
All right, welcome back to Secular. So we're talking about, again, a lot in the news. First, so we now know that Senator Johnson has put forward and said that Anthony Blinken went before in his investigation when he was went through testimony behind closed doors. As he was on the way to being confirmed to Secretary of State, he was asked about his communications with Hunter Biden, including by email. He said there were absolutely none. Now we know there are emails between Blinken at the time when he was not yet Secretary of State. And that's what he was answering about. And his wife, actually, who was also a State Department official, Blinken, and Hunter Biden. We now know that the former CIA director under Obama has testified that it was Anthony Blinken who came to him and organized those 51 signers of that document saying that the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian disinformation. So he has been working with Hunter all the way leading up to his time as Secretary of State. Now, we don't know since then. We don't have emails since then, but we have them up until that point. So we now know at least that he lied to Congress. That's significant. That needs to be investigated further. We need to have Blinken testify. We need his wife. She's relevant here because she was a State Department official who came up with a Gmail account they would utilize to communicate with Hunter so it wasn't on their State Department official email accounts. And again, this matters for two reasons. He lied to Congress about it, Blinken. And then second, he's the guy that put the disinformation letter together. And it was his letter and the signatories that were actually putting out mis- and disinformation. The Hunter Biden laptop was real, and it had nothing to do with the Russians. It wasn't Russian disinformation. It was all real. You can see the images yourself. It's Hunter. And the emails within there, the big guy, it is all from Hunter. His own legal team accidentally admitted it in a court filing that it was his computer and his, his data.
Well, when he started also suing the store that was fixing it and all of that. Remember, it was pretty much admitted. It's kind of like the situation with his daughter, kind of admitting it without admitting it.
Yeah. So I want to go to the phones real quick. Yep. Kevin in Wisconsin online too. Hey, Kevin.
Thank you for taking my call. I just was wondering, why isn't the justice system of our country doing anything about what's going on that in the Supreme Court?
Well, I think, listen, the Justice Department is investigating Hunter Biden. And so there is a full investigation of Hunter Biden, a criminal investigation of Hunter Biden. It keeps, every once in a while, it seems like something's going to happen there, and then nothing does happen. Now, most of that is related to what we believe is false filings when it comes to taxes. So it wouldn't necessarily be the most serious of serious crimes, but certainly would rise to the level of federal crimes. The question is, Kevin, is remember this. The DOJ has to prosecute these. The DOJ is run by Merrick Garland. I think if anything comes of that, it's a slap of the wrist. He might get charged and found guilty, or might just admit to it and get a slap on the wrist. But Logan, there's other news to talk about as well. We're going to keep talking about this at 1-800-684-3110. Yeah. But you should read the tweet from Francesca Albanese, the UN Special Rapporteur for the Occupied Palestinian Territories. Yeah. Do you have the tweet?
I don't think I have it. Here you go. The loss of life, hold on, in the occupied territories, OPT, and Israel is devastating, especially at a time that should be of peace for all, Christians, Jews, Muslims. Israel has a right to defend itself, but can't claim it when it comes to the people it oppresses, whose land it colonizes. So
Israel, CC, has no right to defend itself, against terrorists operating in the Palestinian territories.
Right. And this is what we see from the UN all the time, that passes more resolutions condemning Israel than any other member state. But we, as we always do, standing up for Israel, fired off a letter immediately telling them that first, there is no occupied Palestinian territory because there is no Palestinian state, and Israel has lawful claims to the land that the Palestinians say is theirs. And until there is a Palestinian state that exercises sovereignty over its territory, there can be no occupation. So we actually undermine this whole theory of an occupied territory. And then we point out that every action that Israel ever takes is a self-defense action. They're never taking proactive actions against any kind of territory. They're always defending themselves, and they have absolutely every right to defend themselves. And finally, we point out that the international community determined over 100 years ago in the Balfour Declaration that the Jewish people had a right, that their national home for the Jewish people was in Palestine. That was in 1917. So we get to point out actually the truth and the facts every single time the UN makes these stupid statements saying that Israel, is the bad actor because they're not. They're simply defending themselves against terrorists. And the Palestinian Authority is not a recognized member state or even state at all.
Yeah. We actually sent a letter to the UN Secretary General highlighting the libelous statements made in this tweet. From the Special Rapporteur, calling on the Secretary General to replace her, CC, with an impartial rapporteur, someone who is not telling Israel who they can and can't defend themselves against when they are violently attacked.
Right. Every time we see these kind of reports, which they happen quite often, again, frequently, because not only are they doing resolutions, they're putting together committees to, go after Israel. And so every single time we point out the bias of the people that are doing these reports, that are putting them together, and in this instance, the bias that the special rapporteur for this Palestinian territory has against Israel.
I mean, this is the UN official making the statement that Israel has a right to defend itself, but can't claim that right when it comes to the people it oppresses whose land it colonizes. So they cannot respond if Hamas attacks. They cannot respond if Palestinian Islamic Jihad attacks with suicide bombers or stabbing attacks or gun attacks because they are the oppressors. That's the bottom line. And that's why we believe she has to be removed, because actual UN policy, as bad as it can be sometimes, is not that extreme.
That's right. And the law of armed conflict, definitely, yes, that controls. And so we are very specific in every letter, every response we make to the UN when this kind of ridiculous attacks against Israel happen. We point out the facts. We point out that they have a right to defend themselves and that it's not an occupied territory. So once again, every time the UN comes against Israel, we will do oral interventions, we will do written submissions, or in this case, we will actually write a letter to the Secretary General asking for the removal of the biased special rapporteur.
There is also a second attempt, CC, by Palestinian leaders to obtain UN recognition of a Palestinian state, trying to go around a normal negotiated process with the parties, the stakeholder parties, to try to go straight to the UN for recognition. That hasn't been successful for them in the past, but geographics and politics are always changing at the UN. They must see this as a time to try again.
Right. So we literally send a letter every single month to the Security Council, because the president changes monthly. And we remind them that the General Assembly, even though they did a vote in 2012 to change the Palestinian Authority from an entity to a non-member state, that the UN does not have an authority to recognize statehood. And we remind them that they are not a state.
So folks, that just shows you some of the work of the ACLJ. Go to ACLJ.org, support the work if you can, make a financial contribution. Thank you for those of you involved in our matching challenge the last couple of months. We appreciate that. And of course, sign up, join, look at what we're doing at ACLJ.org, and still check out, we launched ACLJ.org/coverup. We're really asking our supporters out there to share that. That's all you've got to do. Share it on your social media sites with your friends and family, ACLJ.org/coverup.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
We've got more to talk about when it comes to our border, when it comes to our financial situation in the United States right now with First Republic Bank. We'll get to that as well this second half hour. But I do want to finish up the discussion with Blinken lying to the to senators and their staff. When he was going through the confirmation process to be Secretary of State, he was asked about his communication with Hunter Biden specifically and email communications. And he said no. And I want to play this from Senator Johnson because he is accusing Anthony Blinken of lying to Congress and calling on him to come subpoenas to get more testimony. Republicans can do this easily in the House of Representatives, and also to subpoena his wife, who is a conduit for communications between Blinken and Hunter Biden. And it just shows you how compromised all of these officials are, because they're in the political roles they were playing. Blinken led the letter campaign, the 51 Intel members, for Hunter Biden against the laptop so that it would not become an issue politically, because it was something you couldn't even share or talk about on social media. It was banned, and because it was supposedly Russian disinformation. We found out later it was absolutely not Russian disinformation. It was, of course, as we all knew from the beginning, Hunter Biden's laptop. And it was all real, and the emails were all real, and he left it randomly in a store because he lives in kind of a crisis a mode, if you will, at least that point of his life. He's also got this situation today where he's got to be in court in Arkansas because he's denying that this four-year-old girl, who is his daughter, actually is his daughter. The Bidens have gone so far.
We've gone too far.
Like, he wants to lower the amount of money he owes her in child support. He's not saying he doesn't owe her anything.
He was not saying I'm not the father.
Right, so that means you're the father. But also, the Biden family is fighting Logan to keep her from using the name Biden, even though you usually would use your father's name as your last name.
Of course. And sure, like you said, they're like, we need to make sure that it's the best interest of the child to be a Biden. And as we saw, I mean, probably again, seems like there's unforgivable sin after unforgivable sin in these, the last one of that they won't need, the Joe Biden himself and the family won't acknowledge this child. It's not even like your troubled son who has problems. You're not willing to even reach out and say, okay, this is our grandchild. Probably who knows? I don't know anything about the mother. I don't even know if it's known, with economic standing that they're in or who they are.
Not
if it's
great.
Probably not.
Not horrible, but not great.
Yeah. So in that situation, you're putting out, like I said, they put out all the stockings for Christmas and there's one grandchild not included. Yeah, I think that's going to...
Joe Biden, too. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
I would imagine, like, this is when you say that this whole family's gross.
That's what I'm saying. If it's your troubled, drug-addicted child, I can get that person is mentally not... Right.
But yet he keeps him all around.
You can't acknowledge it as the grandparent. This is where the defense of this family gets a bit to a tipping point. And I hope that not just fighting over child support, but fighting over whether a child can use her name or whether your grandparents will even acknowledge that you exist.
She is the granddaughter of the current U.S. president.
Right. And they're pretending it doesn't
happen. They're trying to take that away from her.
It's really awful. It's really awful stuff. And I think that the more we shed light on those kind of things...
She never gets to go to the White House for all the fun kids things they do, but all the other kids do, of course. And how do you sleep at night?
That's what I'm saying. This is the thing that pushed me over the edge.
Yeah. It's so disgusting. It's repulsive. And the fact that he's going there because he wants to pay her less money and take away the ability to use the last name, just shame on you. Just quit. I wish you would just quit. But they're so evil and obsessed with power that they'll even ruin the lives of kids. Intentionally ruin the lives of kids, or try. We come back. There's a lot more to talk about. We'll take your calls to 1-800-684-31. Ted Mayorkas, he's now defined what he means a secure border is. Very Vice President Harris in the definition. We'll get to that. We'll take your calls. Of course, we'll get to the economy in the last segment of the broadcast because that affects all of us. And there's some big moves there on the banking crisis at First Republic Bank and who bought it. 1-800-684-3110 to join us on the broadcast. Make sure you share the show with your friends and family. If you're watching it, especially on Rumble, share that link out now. We'll be right back. Secchio. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Logan, let's go right to the phones. We'll go to Whitney in Texas on line one. Hey, Whitney.
Hi, thanks so much for taking my call. So my call is about quid pro quo. Jordan, nobody knows better than you. Apparently, the fundamental sin in the Trump impeachment was that some sort of quid pro quo was inferred. And here you've got Anthony Blinken, who as a campaign manager worked this 51 signature magic that created Biden as a president, or helped that, and now he's Secretary of State. How is that not a quid pro quo, and is have they set the precedent for that being the basis of an impeachment?
Well, I mean, see, he was again, I guess some type of this, he was outside the government, sometime he was inside the government. I think, again, this needs to be further investigated, because if he lied to Congress, that could be grounds for impeachment, certainly. The votes aren't there. We know that. The votes aren't there, maybe in the House, but certainly not in the Senate, so you could impeach, but you would lose at the trial.
Right.
And I don't think we want to set the tone for just being losers in that. It didn't really made the Democrats look pretty ridiculous, especially the first one and the second one, when the president wasn't even there, the Chief Justice wasn't even there. But it was Joe Biden who's been using these quid pro quos, if they're impeachable, offensive for whatever reason. Remember, he was the one who went to Ukraine and said, if you don't fire the prosecutor, you're not going to get the $1 billion. That's a quid pro quo. Saying to an incoming new president in Ukraine, hey, will you look into the craziness of the Bidens there? We've got this very powerful family in the United States who looks like they are using their political influence in your country improperly. And somehow that was impeachable. Of course, we won that easily. But they really lowered the bar for what is an impeachable offense.
Right.
So if you want to lower the bar that low, well, then you could impeach
Lincoln
if you had a stronger, if you had a Republican real majority in the Senate, you might want to go there. Certainly you'd want to move against someone like Mayorkas as well. I want to play some of that too, because he has identified Logan. You know, he doesn't like talking about it. But what does it mean, Secretary Mayorkas, to have a secure border? Take a listen.
What's the definition of secure border to you?
It is, in the context in which we are working, it is maximizing the resources that we have available to us to deliver the most effective results.
What does that mean?
Just words.
It's a word salad.
Well, yeah, word vomit.
We are maximizing the resources we have available, which is unlimited.
Yeah.
Because they're the federal government, but he doesn't want to use them to help the Border Patrol. So we know he's not doing that.
It's like Hunter Biden
to deliver
and his own child.
The most effective results for who? Oh, I know for who. The illegal immigrants. Because remember, he's using enhanced alternatives to detention for the families of illegal immigrants, families who come through as illegal immigrants, which sounds tough at first because it's enhanced. But then you're realizing it's hotel rooms.
Yeah, hotel rooms, Airbnbs,
apartments.
You know, whatever available housing there is.
Yeah. So. But they won't be in any way, you know, confined. And you'll be paying for all of this because they are losing the power, as we talked about with Senator Hagerty last week. When Title 42 is gone next week, guess what they lose the power to do? Just remove people. They can't just remove them when they illegally cross. You'd have to take them all into custody, and they all now have to go through a legal process unless you follow what Senator Hagerty would like to do, which is say, we might have beat the pandemic, but we have a fentanyl epidemic that emanates from our southern border. So how about we continue to have a Title 42 power because of the fentanyl epidemic, and then give the removal power over to CBP, which is basically the last power they have under the Biden administration. That's about to be gone next week.
Yeah. I think that, look, we have a clip, though, we want to play, I think, from this Chuck Todd interviewing Mayorkas about specifically Title 42 and some of the things that are happening. Take a listen.
There is already reports in Brownsville, Texas, right now, shelters are overwhelmed. The cities of Chicago and New York are already overwhelmed. What's May 12th going to look like if we're already overwhelmed before the expiration of Title 42?
A few things, Chuck. First of all, this is a really tough challenge and has been, as we all recognize, for years and years. We are seeing a level of migration, not just at our southern border, but throughout the hemisphere that is unprecedented. It is, I think, the greatest migration in our hemisphere since World War II. The president on day one delivered a solution. He delivered immigration reform legislation that we had hoped Congress would act on swiftly. They haven't. Within the constraints of a broken immigration system, we are doing so much.
Okay. I mean, it's just, to me, this was, we are destroying American cities. We are letting them just rot away.
Yeah.
They have both the House and the Senate, and they blame the previous administration.
I will say it was his Congress.
It's his Congress.
It was his Congress on day one.
Day one. And yet they blame them for everything. That's going to be the strategy.
3.5 or 3 years later, you know, at the point where we're already well into the presidential swing now.
Yeah, I mean, are they going to blame this murderer, Francisco Oropeza, who is a illegal immigrant who's been deported multiple times, who killed 5 people in Texas over the weekend? The undocumented immigrant accused of fatally shooting 5 of his neighbors, including an 8-year-old child, execution style? Is he going to blame the Trump administration for that? I guess so, because that's what they do now. It's not their ineffective border strategy or the lack of a border strategy. They have none, because they're going to use the resources available to carry out the most effective policies. I mean, that's literally what he said. Nothing. When asked if they had a plan post, you know, Title 42, there's been other officials that have testified to say, no, we don't have plans.
Yeah, and I want to clarify, the person who he's talking about, that you're talking about that killed all those people.
Illegal immigrant.
Has been deported from the U.S. March of 2009, September of 2009, January of 2012, July of 2016, and also has a DUI conviction in Montgomery County, Texas in 2012.
Yeah,
so a very known person.
Bad actor, violated the federal law multiple times, been a criminal, has been a violated local law with a DUI as well, then kills 5, including an 8-year-old kid.
And all deported under the Obama administration.
Yep.
All of those errors.
All of those.
But back out it, crosses the border, and now has murdered multiple people.
Yes.
For nothing.
And then flees. We can't find him.
They're showing his tattoos on social media or on the news to be like, if you see this man with this tattoo,
run.
I mean, this is where we're living at right now. I mean, it's terrible.
Yep.
All right. Hey, well, let's take some more calls coming up in the next segment of the broadcast. 1-800-684-3110. If you want to join us, we're also gonna be talking about, I know you saw some of the news with the bank collapsing and some of the new updates on that. We'll try to get to that as well.
Oregon looking to decriminalize homeless encampments. They're going to let the homeless sue for $1,000 if they're told to leave.
Oh.
So if you tell the
lawyer
homeless
up, homeless.
You tell the homeless to leave your property, you get sued for $1,000.
You know, some of these laws are just to the point of ridiculousness.
This is the American
way. I understand. We gotta do something about the homeless crisis that's happening in this country.
Empowering them to stay homeless is not great.
No.
Because that really is just giving them $1,000 to buy drugs. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
What are they going to use that $1,000 for? Nothing good.
Yeah, no. You're just going to give them cash? It's not a
not
a good way. All right, let's you want to take this call?
Yeah.
Let's go to Stanley, who's calling in California. Stanley, welcome.
Thank you. Maybe you can answer this question. All this stuff was done under Trump's administration. What was the Justice Department and the FBI doing? Why didn't the FBI come out and say, this laptop is real? Instead, they left Trump holding the bag and looking on his own.
Well, it was very late. The laptop was in October? Yeah, so we're talking about a month before the election. And whether or not, it wasn't in law enforcement's hand initially. The FBI ultimately seized it, but it was all out there. No one was saying that you couldn't learn about it. It was just, Logan, that social media and most media outlets would not discuss it, because if you did, you were banned from social media accounts. But
the
information was out there. No one could, because of the internet, you could see it. You could talk about it. I believe President Trump did, but it was very difficult. People could not share it.
Yeah.
Thus, it was harder to access the information because of the cabal of the social media companies working with the FBI and the intelligence community to shut it down.
Here's the interesting thing. Threefold. Yes. Twitter said at one point, nothing. You cannot do it. You cannot turn
post.
Facebook, he talked about it. Mark Zuckerberg talked about it, Rogan, that they suppressed it from going out. You could share it, but it likely wouldn't be seen. Third, a lot of things got banned. You know why? Because the content on the laptop is so bad.
So obscene.
So obscene that you can't publish it. So you had a lot of illegal things on there that were so bad that you couldn't.
Crack, prostitutes.
Yeah, a lot of debate over ages of people. There's,
oh, yeah, there's,
you know,
all of that.
A lot of that. So you didn't know what we were seeing, and a lot of that got cracked down because of that, which is just as horrendous. So we're going to be taking calls coming up in the next segment. I'd love to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110.
But he's obviously the gatekeeper to his father. Throughout all this, Blake had thought, I got to help this guy out.
And they're keeping him around.
They keep him around every day. I'd say he's probably the top advisor to Biden. He lives there, for goodness sakes. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air. That's 1-800-684-3110. Support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. And check out our new campaign. Share it with your friends and family. aclj.org/coverup. Share that link for us. Secular. We are taking your calls to 1-800-684-3110 on the Secular Brothers podcast later today. We're going to get a little more into Hunter Biden and this the 4-year-old daughter he has, because the court case is ongoing. And this is the first time he's had to show up in court today. They have images of him going
in. I'm watching the video right now.
And actually, I guess I hope the daughter's there so he has to look at her. I know that's kind of sad for her, but I think, you know, just at this point, when your name's out, you're going to learn one day in life that your name was out there so much. And that you were the granddaughter of a U.S. president. And he never invited you to the White House, never, you know, celebrated Christmas with you. Is it possible he has a come-to-Jesus moment when he sees her? That's what the court's hoping. The court's hoping that when he actually has to go look at her. But you know what? I wouldn't bet on it. I bet on the crime family acting like a crime family.
And at 4 years old, you know who the president is. I mean, that's the crazy. This is not even like a newborn. My kids certainly knew who the president was at age 4.
Yeah, my oldest knows that there's one good, she's lived under one good president, and there's one bad president.
I think my son was born at the very end of Obama.
The good president may be coming back.
Yeah.
And she's excited about that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
She blames all that's going on around the world on Joe Biden. And I said, you should.
I mean, not too, it doesn't feel too far off.
I mean, the war in Ukraine, which really upsets me, I said, that is his fault.
Yeah.
We could go down that poll. How about the bank failures? Which also, I haven't gotten to that as much with my daughter.
Y'all discuss.
So we had these bank failures start occurring, Harry. They were worried that it would start happening in mass. And one of the most high profile was, there was the Silicon Valley Bank. That did not affect a lot of just average bank users because it was a kind of a high risk banking institution, though it did get a full bailout. And they got bailed out way past the FDIC $250,000 number. But then there was First Republic Bank out of New York. That was basically failing as well. But now J.P. Morgan has come in. Tell people what's happened.
Well, essentially, there's one common denominator with respect to all of these bank failures. They are located in the bluest states with the wokest clientele. And so now we face a continuation of an ongoing banking crisis. And the Federal Reserve, the Treasury, and the FDIC are more focused, I would argue, on climate change than on sound banking practices. And so First Republic Bank has been seized by the feds, and it has been sold off to J.P. Morgan, which is the largest bank in the United States and probably the world's largest bank. And so I would argue too big to fail is now back. And this raises the question, when will the crisis end? Keep in mind that the First Republic Bank failure is the second largest bank failure in U.S. history. And we've experienced 3 large banking failures in the last couple of months. And those 3 failures are 3/4 of the 4 largest bank failures in U.S. history. Yeah. So this is very, very serious stuff. It requires adults in the room, and there are no adults in the United States Treasury Department.
You brought that up, that this is, you know, 3 of the 4 of his biggest that have ever happened in our country. And what I hope is that people don't get desensitized, because it felt like I felt the last 2. It was the number one story, was this happens. I feel like we cut this weekend, them being sold to JP, all the different stuff kind of got washed away as people have become a little numb to a bank failure now. And that is not good.
Well, they were told, we're supposed to believe Jamie Dimon. I mean, he's a smart guy, but he's told us the bank crisis is over now. Thank JP Morgan Bank. They have solved the bank crisis for us. But there are people saying, hold tight. We are not really sure whether that is true or not.
I think you are precisely correct, and those critics are precisely correct. Part of the problem is that these banks located in San Francisco and New York have accumulated deposits from huge depositors who have uninsured deposits. And guess what? Virtually everyone in America has a smartphone. And so when they hear the hint of a potential failure, they withdraw their funds en masse. Yep. Keep in mind as well that these banking institutions have made huge loans to wealthy individuals with respect to expensive mortgages. And those mortgages were at very low rates. And interest rates have been rising for the last 18 months or so. And many of these banks are underwater with respect to the value of their assets and with respect to the outflow of deposits. So it is a perfect storm. And my view is this particular storm will keep on blowing.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, Harry, for people listening right now, so they see that J.P. Morgan's bought this bank. Do you suspect, again, that they could still hear, like, next week? Because that's how it felt for a while. Like, next week another bank was going to fail, or next week another bank was going to fail. Or does this put, like, a Band-Aid on it for now?
I think it puts a Band-Aid on the banking situation for another week or two, but I would guesstimate that there will be another failure or two within the next 30 to 60 days, in part because the Treasury, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, the Federal Reserve, they haven't been doing their job. Keep in mind, 2 years ago, Janet Yellen suggested that the biggest threat to banking in America was climate change. That is nonsense. The biggest threat is the failure to regulate banks properly, and that's been an ongoing failure by our so-called cultural elites who are beginning to act more and more like children.
Folks, we're going to stay on this, of course, and Harry's going to stay on this for us. Anytime the economic news, which, listen, we know how important that is to all of us, is in the news, we want to get it and explain it to you in a way that you can consume, understand. When you see these headlines and when you see the bank failures being bought out by J.P. Morgan, then they say, well, hey, that's done. No problem here. But we're all living in this hyper kind of inflation environment that doesn't seem like it's coming to an end, even though the housing market has slowed down so significantly. And it seems like people have a lot less money to spend, especially with the GDP numbers that came out last week that we discussed. So we will stay on it always when it comes to economic issues that affect you, and especially we believe a lot of these policies are linked to bad policies of the Biden administration and continuing on with bad policies. Now, Logan, we also got Secular Brothers podcast coming up later today. Get a little bit more into this Hunter Biden case, but and also the Epstein.
Yeah, we'll dive into that as well. There was some news that came out of that situation, but we're going to do both.
Our producer Will has been waiting for this day.
I know, to have both of these topics in one. But you got me. You finally got me to talk about these things, and I will. Let's talk about it later today on the Secular Brothers podcast. If you want to subscribe to that, if you're not already, do it now. You can find it on all your favorite podcast players, so Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you go. But you can watch us, and we are beautiful people, on Rumble. So find us, subscribe on Rumble. We put the show up live at 4 p.m. Eastern time, so just, you know, adjust that how you will. So 4 p.m. Eastern time, we post the show. So make sure you are following on all those platforms.
Far left liberal Noam Chomsky doing with Jeffrey Epstein. His response, none of your business.
Oh, man.
Other than plotting with the Chinese.
I forget he's still alive. It's like a name lost in time. Like, it's a name I forget. He's someone, it feels like Karl Marx. I feel like it's in connection, you know.
Well, that's why we got to get on this. Anytime we get information on it, it's important to discuss. We'll do it on the Secular Brothers podcast. Support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org and share that ACLJ.org/cover-up. Share it with your friends and family. We'll talk to you tomorrow.